talk a little NHL. Something tells me I'm sure our next guest has a few opinions on Top Gun and some other movies. Dave McCarthy from TSN 1050 joins us. Dave, welcome to the show, my man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got to say, Jason, you know me better than I thought you did, because I'll put it this way. Anytime you want to have me on and have Top Gun as my lead-in music there, Highway to the Danger Zone, that is cool with me, because that is an epic tune. Don't tell me that we all don't wish we were Maverick on that motorcycle cruising down that highway with that song blaring, right? Am I wrong?
Oh, of course. Especially when he was going helmetless. Can't even do that now.
Right?
Such a rebel. Oh, you know, and McGillis there. Oh, perfect. Kidding me? Who didn't like that? Wish I was riding a motorcycle right now. I'll probably have to take my tricycle with my kids out on the road later on tonight. That's pretty much what I'm up to right now. Dave, Toronto fans are giddy with excitement. Oilers fans know what it feels like. They won the lottery last year when they got Connor McDavid, who's pretty darn good. And I've been reading more stories now about, Line A and Matt. There's no chance the Leafs are taking Line A. They're going Matthews all the way.
They should. I mean, let's not get silly here and overthink this. Position matters in the NHL. Number one centers who are on equivalent levels to top wingers, as you could argue that Matthews and Line A are, you've got to go with the center every time before you go with the winger, especially if you don't have a number one center, and the Leafs haven't had one of those guys since Matt Sundin hit the road in 2008, 2009. So we need to get sane here and not get ahead of ourselves and start turning this into a controversy, and I think that's just sort of at times the nature of our business, right? Because there's a month till the draft. What the heck are we going to talk about for the next month? Oh, we got to start to create something here. Maybe, hey, you see Laine at the World Championship. These look pretty good. No, let's not get silly here. The Leafs have got to take Matthews. They need a number one center. Once you get one of those pieces, it accelerates your rebuild. It starts sending you in the right direction. But you can't go in that direction until you have a number one center. And the only way you get one of those guys, as you guys well know in Edmonton, is to draft them.
The Leafs have a ton of picks. They have a ton of prospects. And I can tell you can sell your fan base on that for a while. Older fans have done it. But eventually reality checks in, and you can't win with bringing all youth in at the same time. And I look at the Leafs, and they've traded away their proven veteran players, which is the mistake the Oilers made. Do you think the Leafs are going to try to use some of their prospects and picks here to try to get back some NHL players this summer?
It's hard to say, but I don't think they're as inexperienced from an NHL standpoint as a lot of people might think. Let's not forget, Leafs have James Van Riemsdyk, and we forget about him because he hasn't played since January. He missed the second half of the year. So he's a guy that is a high-caliber player, but certainly is an NHL-experienced guy. They've got a guy like Brooks Lyke, who's come in from the Washington Capitals in that trade that sent Dan Winnick to the Caps. And Brooks, like I tell you, Jason, he is a guy that I would want on my team any day of the week. He does everything the right way. He sets a tremendous example. He's very positive in the room. He's got a good relationship with a guy like William Nylander, whose dad he played with when he was with the Washington Capitals. In fact, he assisted on Michael's last goal in the NHL and William's first goal in the NHL. So there's an interesting connection. They've got a guy like Colin Greening, who really played well toward the end of the year, who's also under contract. Milan Mihalik is under contract. They're not as NHL experienced up front as I think a lot of people think. From a defensive standpoint, they've got Morgan Riley, Jake Gardner figure to be parts next year. Nikita Zaitsev, who they signed from the KHL, a very highly touted guy. He should be a part of that blue line. But if there's any area of their team that needs work, that could use an NHL experience type guy or two, I think it would be on the blue line. But up front, I don't think it's going to be as inexperienced as you think. Matthews will be on the team, provided they draft him. Nylander should be on the team. I would think that Nikita Shoshnikov, Connor Brown, Zach Hyman will be in the discussion. But then after that, there's five guys. Everybody else is going to be an NHL tenured type guy.
Now, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they got the number one pick. They have two first-round picks, so they're obviously very excited about that, I would think, at this point.
Well, the, the longer Pittsburgh goes, the more they lay waste to that second, the first round pick.
True. Very true. But it's still, basically they're going to have three picks in the top 31.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a good opportunity. The last two picks are obviously more long range than they are, but they could potentially use those two picks if they wanted to move up higher in the first round.
Yeah, they certainly could do that. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Leafs make that type of a move. They've got 12 picks overall right now in the draft, and that's a lot of picks. And it was interesting. I remember somebody asked Lou Lamoriello, I guess it would have been probably July of last year, is it ever a situation where you can find yourself having too many draft picks? And he said, you know what? You can get into that position because you only have 50 contracts, right? So you don't want to have so many guys that you literally just can't find room, find contracts for all those guys. So I could see them taking two or three picks, trying to package something together and maybe move a little higher up into the first round. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them get creative with some of their draft picks. But that's the thing going into the draft that the Leafs have in their favor. They've got cap space, should have $20 million plus worth of cap space to work with. They've got a lot of draft picks, 12. It builds in flexibility, and then you can entertain all of these options that may come to the fore, where if you had no cap space and you traded away all your picks, you couldn't even entertain those type of thoughts. And if you had guys on long-term ugly deals that you need to try to get rid of, like they did a year ago with guys like Phil Kessel and Dion Phaneuf, they don't have any of those guys anymore. So with the picks, with the cap space, and with the lack of long-term deals, they have all kinds of flexibility that they can make creative moves if any come their way.
Dave McCarthy from TSN 1050 in Toronto joins us. Well, Dave, quite the weekend for Toronto fans. The Raptors getting to the conference finals for the first time, and their two all-stars really picking up their games and doing what they did all season long in game 5, 6, and 7, basically between the two of them averaging 30 points a guy. And really, that was ultimately the difference in the series was their best players were their best players.
Yeah, and, you know, but let's be honest here. Once Jonas Valanciunas went down, the onus was on Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan to step up and play like the all-stars that they were all regular season long and like the way they hadn't played really up until consistently later in that Miami Heat series. So, you know, once JV went down, once Miami lost Hassan Whiteside, it really turned into a guard play type of series. And could Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan be better than Dwayne Wade and Goran Dragic? And ultimately, when push came to shove in Game 5, 6, and 7, they played like the all-stars that they're capable of being. And really, after that, Miami didn't really have any options to turn to. And then you get good games from Damari Carroll and Patrick Patterson, as they had in Game 7. And then Bismack Biyombo, who really just continues to really impress, apart from the fact that he's unable to make a free throw to save his life. Other than that, he's been an incredible burst of energy. I think he had 17 points yesterday. Nobody's expecting 17 points out of Bismack Biyombo. But without Miami having any kind of a big that they could use to protect the rim, credit Kyle Lowry and credit Dwayne Casey for, you know, manufacturing plays to get Bismack some looks because Miami had no way to stop it. So ultimately, I think the best team won. The best players for the Raptors turned up and played like the best players. And when you have a situation like that, I think we all know in basketball, the team with the, you know, best stars that are playing the best typically wins, and that's what happened for the Raptors.
Dave, how many games do you think they win against Cleveland?
Oh, I mean, it's hard because you want to think a little bit with your heart and you don't want to say they get swept. I don't think they'll get swept, but I think if they win one, I think that would be an accomplishment. I mean, come on, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. You got J.R. Smith, who's capable of stabbing you with a three at any time. They got a lot of options on Cleveland right now. And without JV, I think that's really asking a lot for the Raptors to go, you know, up against Cleveland consistently. Maybe you can squeeze out a game, maybe two, but I don't think anything. I don't think anything longer than that. I certainly don't expect it to be a long series, but hey, I hope I'm wrong.
Flipping to the Jays, of course, Jose Bautista had Jays fans going nuts last year. with the home run, of course. Texas Rangers obviously upset about flipping your bat, whatever. The slide leads to the punch, which leads to a little bit of a melee, which is now going to lead to suspensions. But the Jays are playing right now, and I know Donaldson and Batista are both in the lineup batting second and third tonight. When do you think the suspensions come down, and what do you think happens to the Jays?
Well, I think the suspensions will come down on Tuesday. It'll be interesting to see who from the Jays gets suspended. Manager John Gibbons had been ejected from that game earlier before the melee took place. He ended up coming back onto the field. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a game. I don't know if they'll suspend Jose Bautista. They probably will because, you know, let's be honest, he had some role in escalating that. But really, my focus is on Rougned Odor because, my goodness, was that uncalled for. We've seen bad slides at second base. Bautista's slide into second on Odor was, okay, probably against the new slide rule, but it was far from a malicious, vicious type of slide. And for Odor to come around and sucker punch Bautista in the face, I mean, you could see the look on Batista's face as he got hit there. It was like, whoa, guy, whoa, like, easy here. Like, that was completely unnecessary, and it seemed to me like Odor was simply just looking for an opportunity to punch Batista in the face. And frankly, Jason, I don't understand why it got to this extent. Like, you have to consider a number of things. One, with the bat flip, I don't think it was meant so much to disrespect the Texas Rangers as it was just years of pent-up frustration, both in this marketplace. Jays hadn't been in the playoffs in 22 years. They were down 0-2 in the series, fought back, were leading that game until the, you know, strangest of plays, Russell Martin hitting the bat of the batter with his return throw, you know, gives the lead away. Everything that happened, and then Batista himself is a guy who is a late bloomer and for years had to prove people wrong, and wanted to be a guy that got his chance in the playoffs. Finally, he got it, and then he delivered. And then, you know, emotion took over, and he flipped his bat. Can you imagine if Sam Dyson had a struck Jose Bautista out there? He probably would have been jumping out of the building on his way to the dugout. So it's the type of situation where, to me, it seemed totally overblown. And then to wait till the final at-bat of the final game that the two teams would play head-to-head, to me, was a bit of a chicken move. So hopefully it's over with now, but the way it was handled by the Texas Rangers, and I'm trying to think, you know, unbiased here, but it just seemed like it was handled very poorly. And then to have a guy like Matt Bush, who wasn't even a part of the team, throw the initial stone, as it were, throwing at Jose Bautista, well, you got to have a guy who was there last year settle the score. That's like me and you getting into an argument at the workplace, and then you sending a guy who was hired 2 days ago to come and tell me, hey, you know what, Jason's not very happy with you. Well, what? Then Jason can come over here and tell me himself, right? So I just, it seemed way worse than I was expecting it to be, and as far as I'm concerned, I think some suspension should come down on the part of the Texas Rangers, specifically Odor, because there's no excuse to punch a guy like that in the face in the game of baseball.
Oh, yeah. I think Odor is the guy who's going to get the biggest suspension for sure out of this entire thing. Now, the Jays did pick up an infielder today on waivers. Is that because they're expecting maybe a suspension to Donaldson?
Well, it could be. You know, at this point, I think the Jays are in a position where if they can find a guy that can help them off the bench, they'll pick that guy up, because really their bench has been relatively unproductive so far this season. So they need some guys to start to step up at this point. I don't think it's anything more complicated than that. A little bit of insurance, sure, but they also need some options off of their bench, because the bench has been unproductive.
Dave, one final one for you. Looking ahead, you see the Jays season. I know it's very early, and it's funny. You know, people are concerned a little bit about the numbers from their big offensive guys, but their numbers actually are ahead of pace to where their guys were last year, which illustrates just how good of a June, July, August, September Encarnacion, Donaldson, and Batista had. But you look at the standings right now, and it's very early in a 162-game season, and the Jays are 5.5 back of both Baltimore and Boston. Like, they don't want to fall much farther back this early in the season.
No, they don't. I remember they were sort of in this position last year at this time, And then Josh Donaldson gave the infamous knell. It's not the try league; it's the get it done league. And eventually, they started to head in the right direction. But they were in this 6-7 games back type of neighborhood last year at this time, and we were saying the same thing here. You know, you don't want to fall 7-9 games back, because that's probably minimum of a month's worth of good baseball to try to make that type of ground up. And the farther back you fall, the more difficult of a position you put yourself in, and then you kind of have to expect the type of last 2 months, August and September, that they had a year ago. And that's just not realistic to expect a team to play at that level for 2 months. They got away with it last year, but it's not a recipe for success long term. So, yes, it's early. Yes, it's still the middle of May. But I think, Jason, we're getting pretty close to the point where you have to stop saying that it's early. And if you want to be taken seriously and you want to put yourself in a good position to make the playoffs, you have to start to make up some ground, because being well back come the All-Star break, and asking a team to play 700 baseball down the stretch, that's not a good way, I think, to put yourself in the best position to succeed.
Dave, always good to catch up with you. Should be an interesting 2 weeks. Raptor fans are loving it. And then they will focus on the draft, where Leaf fans will believe that Austin Matthews will lead them to the promised land.
Yeah, for a change, Jason, we got a pretty good month of positivity to expect here. Even if the Raptors don't beat Cleveland, I think everyone's going to be pretty satisfied.
Appreciate your time, Dave. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, cheers, Jason. Thanks.